The far left would have you believe the Bush administration lied to get us into war for oil.
You heard here on this program tonight that we went into this effort to control the oil, which is not true.
And we did it, not for oil, you know, we did it out of trying to give these people a chance.
Oil. Is it about oil?
This is not about that. This is about saving lives by protecting the American people.
It does not relate to oil. I mean, it just plain doesn't.
States, oil was once a source of power. More than any other vital material, oil was central to the American way of life.
What it comes down to is that the oil industry has to please Mrs. Martin and millions just like her. Already today, she's used some 87 petroleum products, including the plastic bacon wrapper and the wax of the milk carton.
Since the onset of the petroleum age in 1860, the United States has been the leading consumer of petroleum, and we remain so today. We have about 5% of the world's population. We consume 1/4 of the world's petroleum, about 20 million barrels per day out of total world consumption of 80 million barrels. But until you really investigate this, you don't appreciate just how deeply our economy is dependent on oil. 98% of our transportation energy comes from petroleum products. We couldn't move goods around our country without oil. Our entire agricultural industry is highly mechanized and dependent on petroleum for herbicides and pesticides and fertilizers. And then if you think of the million products that are made from petrochemicals, all the plastics and pharmaceuticals and cosmetics and paints and lubricants, all of these industries rest on an abundant supply of petroleum. And that's why when petroleum becomes scarce or the price of petroleum rises, the entire economy is affected.
Investors worried about high prices and low supplies keep pushing prices up even higher.
The extraordinary thing about our addiction to oil is this addiction was formed when we were self-sufficient in the production of petroleum. Well into the 1940s, we produced all of the oil we consumed. Even in the 1950s and 1960s, we produced 80 or 90% of our oil consumption. It's only been in the past decade or so that we've become significantly dependent on imported oil. We now depend on imported oil for about 2/3 of our total demand, and it's expected to increase radically over the next 25 years, but our domestic production is plummeting. And so, since we became reliant on imported oil, it has become a source of weakness for the United States.
America is addicted to oil, which is often imported from unstable parts of the world.
Yes, we hear that America is addicted to oil. The president has said it.
I know it came as a shock to some to hear a Texan stand up there in front of the country and say, we got a real problem. America is addicted to oil. But I meant it. because it's a true fact, and we've got to do something about it now.
But it was in 1945 that the President of the United States, at that time Franklin Roosevelt, first grasped the nature of this crisis.
We must be the great arsenal of democracy. For us, this is an emergency as serious as war itself.
Franklin Roosevelt first looked ahead and saw that the United States eventually would become dependent. And he was the one who pioneered a foreign policy based on oil.
I should like to see this nation geared up to the ability to turn out at least 50,000 planes a year.
Roosevelt understood that oil was a decisive factor in America's victory in World War II. We triumphed over the Germans and Japanese, true by military prowess and the leadership of our generals, but also because the U.S. had a superior industrial capacity. We were able to produce so many thousands of tanks and planes, and we had the petroleum to fuel those weapons, whereas the Germans and Japanese did not. But at the same time, Roosevelt understood that the United States would no longer be able to supply its forces with oil in the future because we were using up so much of our domestic reserves. And this is what worried Franklin Roosevelt most in the final months of World War II. And so he set out to find a foreign source of oil to make up for the decline in American reserves.
One of the most colorful visits to the presidential cruiser was that of the ruler of Saudi Arabia, King Ibn Saud. The 65-year-old monarch leaves his country for the first time to attend this.
You have to picture this extraordinary moment at the end of World War II. The fateful meeting on February 14, 1945, between the President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and the King of Saudi Arabia, Abdulaziz ibn Saud. On one hand, the leader of the free world, a passionate advocate of democracy and freedom, sitting next to an absolute monarch who is accompanied by slaves and astrologers and Bedouin bodyguards. No records were kept of this meeting. But all historians and American policymakers agree that the basis of the discussion was that henceforth the United States would provide the royal family with protection in return for an exclusive American right to develop Saudi Arabia's oil. And every American president since then has reaffirmed the U.S. alliance with Saudi Arabia.
Our relations with Saudi Arabia have been long, close, and cordial. As the venerable Arabic saying has it, our house is your house.
There's an Arab saying, the sands are blowing. And I submit to you, King Fahd, that if the sands of time give us any hint of the future, it is that in the days ahead, the friendship between the Saudi Arabian and American people will be a strong and vital force in the world.